take your Bible tonight. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This is lesson number 24 in the subject, or on the subject, of helping people. Helping people. The title of the tonight's sermon is Helping People in God's Image. Helping people in God's image. It'll make sense as the night lesson unfolds. Hebrews chapter 1. Why don't you stand with me as we read Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse number 1. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Look back at verse number 3 there. The Bible here, it uses these words: who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's going to help us with tonight's lesson. I want to talk to us about the importance of being fashioned in the image of Christ, and I'll let the lesson take care of itself, but let's pray and get God in on this thing. Father, bless us tonight. Control my thinking. You know what I have prepared. You know I would like to make it so that we all understand it. May I not complicate the great truth of tonight. But Father, may it be taught in such a way that the young Christians get it and the older Christians get it. And Father, that each age group has something that they can take home with them. Bless us now, Holy Spirit, with a unique intervention on your behalf and on your part, so that we might be better Christians because we came to church tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. You hear me say this all the time, at least during these Wednesday nights for the last 24 weeks. The great people helper's God. The great people helper is Jesus. The great people helper is the Holy Spirit of God. That means if you and I want to help people, we have a tremendous pattern. We've got somebody that set a perfect example. And folks, I want you to always remember, God saved you, and then he left you here on this earth. You might have a lot of reasons why you think he left you behind, but it probably had nothing to do with Big Macs or nice shoes or money in the bank. He left you behind to serve him. And with that in mind, you are on this earth. And there are many things that you might do while you're on this earth, but God's all about people. God is interested in people. And so, let's talk about this thought. Now, you know, way too many people think that Jesus' life began in Bethlehem. But see, that's not true. The religious world, they may think that that was the beginning of Christ in Bethlehem. The lost world definitely would think that. But we know better than that. He just came to earth in Bethlehem. See, there's no way to begin the life of Christ because it has no beginning. He always has been, and he always will be. And you say, I just don't get that. I know, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that the God we serve, you always just can't get it? He's bigger than us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher. But he always has been. He was in the beginning. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, so you understand, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, 12, and 13, the Word is a name given to Jesus Christ. He was the walking Word of God. He is the Word. Now, Jesus was the Creator. In John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was the creator of the world. In the Bible, Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created." Now, the word for God there, this isn't real important to you, but it's a Hebrew word, Elohim. That's a word of plurality. Now, that little part of it, that may not impress you, but you already know what I'm about to say to you. You see, there was more than one God helping, if you will, in creation. Or it was one God that had more than one part. That's a better way of putting it. It says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image." The word "us" and "our" are words of plurality. The name God in Genesis 1:1, that Elohim, that Hebrew word, it is a word that is plural. You see, what we're finding out is, When the earth was created, God in three parts helped to fashion it. His coming to earth, you see, in Bethlehem, was simply God coming and becoming flesh so he could be seen down here. That's why it says in John 1:11, "He came unto his own." Now, for you to come somewhere, you had to be somewhere else. And so he was in heaven, he was born into a body so he could be here on earth. Bethlehem was Jesus, or God, coming from heaven to the earth that he created. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." Now, here's what that means. And the Word, Jesus, was made or became flesh. It did not mean that he was created that day. It meant he transferred from one place to another place, and when he came to earth, he took on a form that we could recognize. Now, the passage of Scripture that I'm using to launch the actual study tonight is this. In Hebrews 1:3, which we read earlier, it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." The express image of his person. Let me explain. And that is in reference to Jesus. The word "express" there is like the word "impress" or "impression." Like an impression that your tennis shoe would make in the sand. Or, as I learned when I was younger, the same impression that my tennis shoes would make in the fresh cement that my grandfather had poured. He knew, two reasons he knew those were my footprints. One, they matched up with the tennis shoes that I had on. Two, I was still standing there in the cement. But I took my weight and I made an impression in that cement. You stand in the sand and your tennis shoe will make an impression in the sand. My daughter-in-law, Savannah, is a scrapbooker. And she takes these dudes, these stamp deals, and she can stamp them in ink and then wax it on the paper. And I'm very eloquent when I talk about things that I don't really totally understand, but she stamps them, and whatever is on the stamp, the image then is placed on the piece of paper or in a greeting card or in a notebook, like a cookie cutter, if you will. Now listen, Jesus was the impression made of God, by God, in a human body. God used flesh and stamped Jesus out of a mold of himself. God said, "This is what I am. I'll take flesh. I'll stamp me in that flesh. And that will be Jesus, the Word of God. I'm coming through him to man." God was made an impression on flesh in Bethlehem. Listen to this verse. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So, Jesus was in the form of God, and when they would have said to him, "Who do you think you are, God?" Who do you think you are, God? And Jesus would have said, "Yes." Well, don't you think you're taking something away from God by you being God? Jesus said, no, I am He, come in the flesh. You kids, some of you don't know anything. You play with cell phones and computers. I grew up playing with Etch-a-Sketches. How many of you know what an Etch-a-Sketch is? Okay, how many of you know what Silly Putty is? Okay, I lost that lower generation. Silly Putty, can I tell you what you can do with Silly Putty? We used to get a thing called a newspaper. Let me explain that. Paper with news on it, okay? You can't do this with what I'm about to explain to you with your iPad. I could take Silly Putty, and when we would get the Sunday paper, which was the best paper of the week, you say, why? Because of all the coupons? No, it had comics in it. It had the comics in it, and you could take the comic section of the newspaper, take out some Silly Putty, you flatten your Silly Putty, you place it down on top of a comic, you put pressure on it, and when you would pick your Silly Putty up, you would have an impression on your Silly Putty. You say, how did that happen? Well, it would take the ink off the page, transfer it onto that Silly Putty, and you would have the image on the Silly Putty. That is, to a degree, what God did with Jesus Christ. God wanted His image stamped on flesh so that man could be influenced by God. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, God formed Jesus in His likeness. Now the Bible says Jesus is to be formed in you, which means God is to be formed in you. Let me read a verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 49, it says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I got to thinking about this afternoon. My wife had been baking last week, and I watched her playing with a bunch of dough. And I'm not talking about $5 bills, $20 bills. I'm talking about dough. This is sugar cookie dough, all right? And I have here a cookie cutter. This one's not made out of steel, but it is made out of plastic. Now, God said, I will take the dough, flesh, and I want to make an image of myself. So that's what God did. He cut out of flesh an image of Himself. And that doesn't mean God looks like that flesh. There's a little more to this than that. But that was the purpose. God said, I'm going to form Jesus in my likeness, but I'm going to do it out of flesh. Now, so the Bible says, though, that it says at Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know what's supposed to happen? Jesus was molded in the image of God. Now you and I, we are to be molded in the image of Jesus. Now, I don't have a second batch of dough up here. But you know, every one of us, we start out and we're putty. And what's supposed to happen? We are to let God take the mold of Jesus Christ, and He's to make such an impression on us that we are to be a reenactment of Jesus. We are to be the spitting image of our dad. We are to be like the Silly Putty. You're to take me, place me on the image of Christ, press down, He's to rub off on me, and when you see the Silly Putty, you see Jesus. You are to be like Jesus. And I know we say that, we say it casually, but if you and I are going to help people, then let's let the one who is a great people helper mold us. You say, preacher, bunch of these things that you teach us about helping people, how in the world could we do all that? You won't do it on your own. But you could do it if you were fashioned after Jesus. So God virtually takes the teachings of the Bible. He comes to you and I. We're the putty. We're the dough. And he wants to stamp his own image on your heart. Stamp his own image on your life. Now, we are to be formed in his image. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Our whole goal is, folks, people ought to look at me, look at you, look at our behavior, and they ought to be reminded of Jesus. And for his glory, not for our vanity, but for his glory. Now, I will tell you this. If this cookie dough could talk, and I took this cutter, and I placed it on that cookie dough right there, that cookie dough might look up at me and say, Pastor, what are you about to do? And I would say, cookie dough, I'm about to put pressure on you so that I might form you in an image. And the cookie dough would say, isn't there an easier way? And I would say, no, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. And the cookie dough would say, a little? If you were on my end, you'd say a lot. So when I go to press on that cookie dough, the cookie dough might say, ow, that hurts. Now, so you all know, there will be times when God is shaping you in his likeness, you might feel like that's a little uncomfortable. Isn't there an easier way? If God's doing the shaping, no, no. Now, God's not doing the shaping to hurt you. He's doing it to help you, but all that we do is to glorify him anyway. Now, with that in mind, you and I are to be molded in his likeness. All the things that we would be taught that we ought to do and the ways we ought to live to help people, they're out of our reach if we're doing it on our own. There's no way we could do all that. But wait a minute. If we could become like him, then we could walk in his steps. You see, he could do what he did because of what he was. And if we could become what he was, we too could do works like he did. Matter of fact, he said, even greater than I can you do. Now, we're going to leave the philosophy part of this Bible study, and let me get down to where it's a little more practical. It's my job, and this is point number one, it's my job as a preacher to help stamp Jesus's form in your life. That's part of what I'm to do. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I am to help you. Jesus is to help me to become like Jesus. Then I'm to help you become like Jesus. As a pastor, I try to help get you formed in the likeness of Christ. Now, as a pastor, I'm supposed to behave like Christ. Here's a question I need to ask myself, and listen to this, because this is where the rest of the lesson is going. I am to pastor you like Jesus would if he were your pastor. I went to a Bible college. I thank God for that Bible college. But I am to pastor you the way Jesus would want you pastored, not just the way that my Bible college would have you pastored. I have friends through the years that have influenced me, great men of God, and I don't think they taught me anything that was bad, but I will tell you this. I am not to pastor you the way somebody else thinks I ought to pastor you. I am to pastor you the way that Jesus would pastor you if he were alive. Why? As a pastor, I am to be stamped in his image. Jeff Owens should pastor the way Jesus would pastor if Jesus was the pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. That's what I'm supposed to do. I am to force myself into that mold. I don't think it's all forcing oneself, but I will tell you this, there are going to be times, at least my experience is, it's not always pleasant. I'm not always saying, yippee, this is just fantastic. No, it costs me something. And there are times when God has cut things off of me that did not give the right impression. There are times when God has removed things from my life because they were not a part of his plan. So, as a pastor, I am to have the impression of Christ upon me. As a pastor, by example, I should help you to become molded in his likeness. I should love you the way Jesus would love you if he were your pastor. I should scold in the church the way Jesus would scold someone if he were the pastor. I should counsel you the way Jesus would counsel you if he were the pastor. What am I supposed to do? I am not supposed to be Jeff Owens. I am supposed to be like Jesus Christ. I need to get Jeff Owens out of the picture. Let God stamp his image on me. Then I am to behave the way Jesus would behave if he were our pastor. My sermons are to mold you. Our church services are there to mold you in the image of Jesus Christ. My sermons and our church services are not to entertain you. My sermons and our church services are not just there to educate you. There are all sorts of people that know all sorts of things, but they have not become those things. And the whole purpose of everything that we do is to become like Jesus Christ. So it's not just education. It's cutting off some of the unrecognizable or the inappropriate parts and adding in that mold what needs to be added, all for the sake of lifting up Jesus Christ and you and I being the image, the express image of Jesus Christ. Now, could I recommend to you this? Don't fight the molding process. Don't fight it. Mrs. Owens was cooking last week, and the dough that she was working with was virtually, I heard her say this, she said, it's just fighting me. I looked up, and she and the dough were doing karate chops and everything, and the dough was getting the best of her, and I had to go in there and wrestle the dough off of her and said, you don't pick on my wife like that. But she said, it's fighting me. She had been kneading it and trying to get it to do what she wanted it to do, and it wouldn't do it. I wonder how many of you have lost track of the fact that this is what your life is all about. You are to be like Jesus Christ. And if you say, I don't care about this, then you are a backslidden Christian. Because you're supposed to care about this. We are to be like Jesus. And as the dough, if you will, don't fight the molding process. So, as a preacher, it's my job to stamp or to help you to be stamped with the image of Christ. Now, let me make some of your life responsibilities easy to understand. This is what being a good mother is all about. This is what being a good mother is all about. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:20, forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, let me explain. When God talks about not forsaking the law of thy mother, actually, a mother's law ought to be the law of Christ. But moms, let me tell you what your goal is. Your goal is to be like Jesus. You say, oh, that is so cute. That's so good for the children. To be like Jesus. That's my plea. I'm sorry. That's not just for little children. Get this. A moment ago, when you heard me say, I am to pastor you like Jesus would if he were your pastor. Mothers, you are to raise your children like Jesus would if he were their mother. They ought to look at mom and see Jesus. You say, how in the world can I be a good mom? You're not going to do it the way you're put together. You're going to have to get stamped with a different image. What kind of mother would Jesus be? I, as a pastor, should force myself into that mold because that's best for my church. Let's face it. Aren't we better off having me lead you like Jesus would or me lead you like man would? You say, well, like Jesus would. Well, moms, which way is best for your children? Is it best that you lead your children what you think or what Oprah thinks? Or would it be best that you lead your children based on what Jesus thinks? Well, it's very clear. And so to be a good mom is to be like Jesus and raise your children the way Jesus would raise your children. Moms are to help their children to also have the impression of Christ stamped on them. You say, that really raises the bar high. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't write this book. It's just my job to teach it. We're to raise our children to be like Jesus. But here's what we do. Well, you know, my kid, at least they're not the worst in the world. You're not trying to just not be the worst in the world. Your goal is to make them like Jesus. Well, you know, they got to make their own choices. They're to be taught to make the choices that Jesus wants them to make. That's how it's supposed to be. How in the world, you say, how do you do that? Well, let me tell you this, moms. One of the good ways of doing this, if you want your children stamped in the image of Jesus, is you do it by example. If you'll let Jesus mold you in his image, they're more apt to let you mold them in his image. But do this. Keep them in church where they can get that stamp. Keep them in their Bibles where they can get that stamp. Let them see you come to church. Let them see you go soul winning. Let them see you read your Bible. Pray with them. All of our children grew up in our home, and there were devotions. There were family devotions, and there were personal devotions, and we didn't debate going to church. We went to church, and I didn't leave it up to my kids. And you say, why? I was trying to get this done. You say, but they sometimes don't like it. Help me, help me. It hurts when you press that on me. I know. But it's good for them. It's good for them. So, what being a good mother is being formed in the likeness of Jesus, then helping to form your child in the likeness of Jesus. Okay? Dads. What is being a good dad? You want to be a good dad, then you must have the image of Christ. Your life is to be formed in the image of Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 22:4, our fathers have trusted in thee. What's that mean? God is saying, put your trust in God. Become like Jesus Christ, the ultimate example. We're to be formed as dads in the image of Jesus. So ask yourself this question, Father. What would Jesus be? What would Jesus do? I've got to be a dad like Jesus would be a dad to my own children. And sometimes you got to force yourself into that mold. It's not always easy. I'm to help my children to become the impression of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus was the impression of God, I am to be the impression of Jesus. You say, how do you do that? Well, you teach them the Bible is God's word. You teach them the Bible is right. You know, I feel so bad for the children that their parents send them to church, but the parents don't come to church with them. That's really hard on them. That's very hard. Makes it very hard for parents sometimes then to stand up to their kids about things. Because the parent says, well, I hardly ever go to church. How can I tell my child they've got to go do something when I don't do it? So the parents back off. Look, we've got to get this thing of understanding. You say, well, I am what my dad taught me to be. You better be what your heavenly father taught you to be. So dads, you do it by example. You can help mold your children into the image of Christ if you're molded in the image of Christ. You do it by teaching them that Bible's always right. You do it by letting them see you read your Bible. And children, teenagers, listen to this. If your parents are trying to mold you into the image of Christ, you say, you're just trying to force me into a mold. And you think that that's enough leverage for you to where they have to say, yeah, and I shouldn't do that. No, they're supposed to be training you to be like Jesus Christ. That's what they're supposed to do. We are the express image of God's Son. That's what we're supposed to be. Now, let me go on. This is what being a good wife is all about. The Bible says in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Ladies, as a wife, you're to say, I am to be the kind of wife that Jesus would be if he were a wife. And I realize Jesus is not a woman, but I think you understand exactly what I'm saying. You say, I'm far better wife than all the other women that my husband knew. You're not supposed to try to be a far better wife than all the other women your husband knew. You're to be a wife like Jesus. You are to be a wife to your husband like Jesus would be if he were a woman and he were a wife. What kind of wife would Jesus be? Think about that. We ought to raise the standard in our way of thinking. You have to work at this. You got to work yourself into this mold. It's not always easy. You can't want to be what society is and accomplish being the image of Jesus Christ. Be a wife and the kind of wife that Jesus would want. Submission and being a godly example and be modest and decent. And don't fight the molding process. Become the image of Christ in regard to being a wife. So, as a pastor, I'm to pastor this church like Jesus would. As a mother, you are to mother your children identically to the way that Jesus would do it if he were their mother. As a father, you are to father and raise your children identically to the way that Jesus would do it if he were their father living in the same home. As a wife, you are to be that kind of wife. Now, husbands, I put this further down the line because I thought by now the men surely are getting what I'm talking about, and so it shouldn't be hard for them to catch on. Husbands, what kind of a husband are you supposed to be? You're to be a husband to your wife that Jesus would be if he were her husband. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The comparison is very, very clear. I am to have the image of Jesus Christ. I'm to fit into that mold. Then I'm to behave, and that's what fitting into that mold means. I'm to behave the way that Jesus would. Husbands are to be to their wives what Jesus would be to their wife if Jesus were married to your wife. I wonder what kind of husband Jesus would be. How would he treat his wife? And so, Jesus was never married. You say, why? He probably wouldn't end up being perfect if he was. But, I'm just joking you. But listen, men, you say, what kind of husband should I be? Your wife ought to be able to look at you and say, you remind me of Jesus. That's the goal. Husbands, you're to be like Jesus in your home. And some of you really get this, you're the silly putty. And some of you, you get the silly part. But you're to be the silly putty. And we take the Bible, and you're the silly putty, and we get that impression on your life, and when we pull it off, we're to see the reflection of Jesus Christ in your behavior. Let me help some of you. Men, if you struggle with your leadership at home, you say, I seem to have a hard time getting my wife to follow. I seem to have a hard time getting my children to follow. There must be something missing somewhere along the way when it comes to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I do realize Jesus is the perfect leader, and he has plenty of kids that goof up and mess up. But let me just remind you, men, you'll come far closer to accomplishing what you're to accomplish in life as a husband and as a dad if you are the impressed image of Jesus Christ. And even if your wife and even if your kids did not do what they're supposed to do, you, sir, are going to stand before God someday. And what he expected was that you were working toward being an impression of him and for him in this world. Husband, are you molded more in the impression of Hollywood than you are Jesus? Or in the music that you listen to? Or the internet that you look at? Everything you take in your ears and in your eyes is molding you. And again, could I recommend you not fight the molding process? Let me quickly go on. This is what being a good employee is all about. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. When you're at work, you're not to work your way. You're to work Jesus' way. You are his representative. God had Jesus come down here to represent God so that people could see how God would be if he were in the flesh. Jesus went back to heaven. He saved you and he said, I nominate you to do what I did. You now are to live the way I would have lived if I were on this earth. When you go to work, you're not to work compared to everybody else at work. You're to work the way Jesus would work if he were hired by your boss. So when you sneak off and hide at work and you cheat your boss, you're giving everybody the impression that's what Jesus would do. But that's not what Jesus would do. Would Jesus show up on time? Yes. Would he work hard? Yes. Would he tell the truth? Yes. Would he get along with other people at work? Yes. Oh, would he tell them he's not going to listen to filthy jokes? Yes. Would he go get high at lunch with other employees? No. No. You are to be at work what Jesus would be if Jesus had your job. Your boss should look at you and get an idea of what Jesus is all about. Other employees should look at you and kind of figure out what Jesus is all about. Don't fight that molding. I'm finished, but let me give you one more idea about this. This is what being a good spiritual leader is all about. We sing the invitation song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. The dough says to the cookie cutter, go ahead, stamp your image on my heart. I don't have to have my own personality. I just want to be like Jesus. And that ought to be the cry of everybody in here. We ought to want to be like Jesus. Leaders, Christian leaders, being formed in the image of Christ is your goal. Don't lead your way. Hey, don't lead your Sunday school class your way. Lead your Sunday school class the way that Jesus would if he were alive. Don't lead your bus route your way. Lead your bus route the way Jesus would lead your bus route if he were the bus captain. King's Kids, Flyers Club, Youth Ablaze, whatever ministry. What's the whole goal here? It's not that you shine as a leader, but that Jesus shines through you as a leader. Followers should see the characteristics of Jesus Christ in the leader. That is good leadership. I know it's a simple illustration. Jesus did not come to be in Bethlehem. He was already in heaven. God said, give me a plate of dough. I'll stamp my image into that flesh, and I'll have Jesus walk the face of the earth for 33 and a half years and live a perfect, sinless life, doing nothing but good for people. Then I'll bring him to heaven. And then God said, okay, we've set the example. Born again Christian, you now let Jesus stamp his image on you like I stamp my image in flesh for him, and let the world see this thing called Christianity. That's how you and I can help a lot of people. You'll help your kids that way. You'll help your family that way. You'll help the lost that way. And even the ones that don't realize they're being helped, they get to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But might I say, as a Christian tonight, there's some of you, you say, I'm willing to be a, you know, get some Christian stuff in my life. Well, getting a little Christian stuff in your life is not God's goal for you. God's goal for you is that you are shaped in His image. You're to be like Jesus. Now, let me ask you, Mom, are you trying to be like Jesus? Dad, are you trying to be like Jesus? Huh? Hey, husband, are you trying to be to your wife the husband that Jesus would be? Employee? Let's let this apply. Let's take our Christianity to its appropriate level. And that is, not that we compare ourselves among ourselves, but that we're molded in the image of Jesus Christ. Who here tonight would say, preacher, there's probably some things in my life that need to change if I'm going to allow Jesus to be molded in my life. If I'm going to have His image stamped on my life, there might be a few things that need cut off along the way. But God has spoken to my heart about this thing of the image of Christ being formed in me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure, I see hands everywhere. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need to come, spend a moment at the altar. You may do so. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The pianist will begin to play. If you need a moment at the altar, you ought to come. Young people, you get upset with Mom and Dad. You say, well, you're trying to make me do this, or you're trying to make me do that. Mom and Dad are going to try to help you to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. They're not trying to hurt you, they're trying to help you. And when you say, that's not what I want, then you're rebellious. Then you're rebellious. To not want to be like Jesus Christ is in total opposition to what Christianity is all about. You say, well, I don't like people using the word rebellious. Well, that's tough because it's in the Bible, and when you reject the clear teaching of the maybe one of the most simple pieces of Christianity, it's to be like Jesus. That's what it's all about. Tonight I just emphasized it in numerous ways. Say, well, how would Jesus do it in this day and age? Well, however He'd do it in this day and age is how you and I ought to do it in this day and age. Treat your neighbor the way Jesus would treat your neighbor. Treat your enemy the way Jesus would treat His enemy. You treat your family the way Jesus would treat your family. You treat people here at church the way Jesus would treat people at church. Stamp that image on mine own heart. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be done.